Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to the National Premier Soccer League show, NPSL show number 2, as we get ready to talk more about these clubs participating in the National Premier Soccer League, as we love to talk about all things NPSL here on the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. Thank you for joining me tonight, everyone who is a supporter of the NPSL, including these clubs for tonight that will be on my show: Sacramento Gold, Academica SC, and Napa Valley. I have to make sure I get the year correct, 1839. Napa Valley, 1839. Welcome, everyone, to the show, and it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be awesome, and I cannot wait to have a conversation. Of course, before we even get underway here, obviously, we all know what happened today in Nashville, Tennessee. Of course, the tornado that struck Nashville, Tennessee, 22 people have died during this terrible storm that came by. Tornadoes not just in Kansas, but also in Tennessee, especially in Nashville. Talked with Wes Bowling, of course, was the part of the Nashville SC broadcast group, broadcasting team, when they were in USL last year. And if anyone wants to make a donation to the what happened over in Nashville today, please contact the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee from West Bowling. This is a reputable charity. So if you go to cfmt.org, Middle Tennessee, CTMT.org. If I can just say it properly here, I'm sorry about that. I just want to make sure I get this thing said correctly. CFMT.org. That's the ones for Middle Tennessee. CFMT.org, the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee. Contact them, donate whatever you can. Sadly, 22 people lost their lives in the tornado that hit Nashville, in downtown Nashville. Hopefully, everyone else will be fine. Everyone will be good. And we can hopefully prepare, with lives and, fix the lives of everyone that, of course, has been affected down there in Nashville. Pray for those families who have lost their loved ones. And here on the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show, for the NPSL Soccer Show, want to say that we hope that everyone is well. And for those who have lost their loved ones, we just want to say apologize for what has happened. We're sorry for what has happened. And hopefully everything will be just fine after everything that has happened down in Nashville, Tennessee. So, the league has already started. Some have played one match, some have played two, some have not played yet. And that's over in the Southwest Conference in that division at the moment, tied on points for first place right now. At the moment. But actually should be in first place, in my opinion, because it's on points, even though it looks like games played or games at hand counts here. But FC Arizona right now, with a win and a draw, have 4 points. So, they'll be going to the Open Cup very soon, at the end of this month. They have 4 points to kick off their season. And then everyone else, 3 points, obviously, with Las Vegas Legends, FC Golden State moving on there. And then you have AS Los Angeles, who's just getting started, obviously. They have 3 points. ASC San Diego, they have 3 points. Temecula FC with a point, with a draw and a loss. Oxnard Guerreros have not played yet. High Desert Elite with a loss. Club Zolos, the Club Tijuana USA under 23 side, they also started off with a loss. And then we go to the Golden Gate Conference, which is where we'll be heading to for tonight. Academica SC right now tied on points with Napa Valley 1839 FC. FC Davis right now with a draw, 1 point. Sacramento Gold also with a draw, 1 point. Project S510 has not played yet. And the two teams with a loss is El Farolito and Sonoma County Soul FC. So two conferences, have already began their league seasons. Everywhere else around the NPSL have not started yet, but definitely it's going to be a lot of fun when everyone else is going to get ready to go and kicking. Midwest Region Conferences, of course, South Region Conferences, of course, and there will be other situations. Of course, let's not forget the East Region. They have the Southeast Conference Division. That's just brand new, obviously. Keystone Conference, you got the Mid-Atlantic Conference, and then you have the North Atlantic Conference. And, of course, the clubs that are in the one conference where you have clubs like FC Motown from Morristown, New Jersey, as well as Atlantic City FC, Hershey FC, the Keystone Conference Division. You know, that's a division right there that's pretty much stacked. That's a conference division that definitely has a lot of hard-nosed clubs that are going to fight each and every minute on the pitch. Of course, I was at a couple of years ago when Miami FC was a part of the NPSL at that time. They were at the final against FC Motown, and it was played in Madison, New Jersey. I got to say, that was a hell of a final. 2-1 victory for Miami FC. It was a fantastic final watching those two sides going at it with each other. Of course, Miami FC had Johnny Steele, used to play for the New York Red Bulls, who scored an amazing goal. And then, of course, Dilly Duca, who also formerly played for the New York Red Bulls, different times, of course, he scored that equalizer to make it 1-1. And then, of course, second half, big goal, I believe by Dylan Mayers, I think it was, in the second half for Miami FC. And they just never looked back, Miami FC, and they won the NPSL championship at that time. It was a wonderful final. It was a great experience to watch, you know, lower-level soccer, having a wonderful time going forward. And let me just say this, you know, every once in a while you'd like to watch lower levels in the first round of the U.S. Open Cup. This was like, This was like, you know, when you watch these clubs going at it with each other, but of course are facing different clubs from different leagues in the Open Cup. Here it's like unbelievable watching what you have these sides fighting with each other, tooth and nail, going at it with each other for a championship trophy. And the NPSL, nothing to take away from any of the other leagues, but you know what, the NPSL, great battles going all over the country. And, of course, you know, the NPSL is trying to make themselves better, greater, and moving more towards probably like a split season and other fun things. But still, though, when you have wonderful moments of brilliance when it comes to these clubs, they're fighting with each other and fighting against each other. It's a situation where, once again, the NPSL is a solid league without any issues whatsoever, thank goodness. So we'll have to wait and see. And then let's not forget, of course, as we get closer and closer to the first round of the U.S. Open Cup, We're going to see these clubs fighting against other clubs, whether it's another amateur club from the state amateur qualifiers or from the USL League 2 situation. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be exciting, and I cannot wait to see what these clubs are going to do. And just in case for those of you that don't remember which clubs are in the Open Cup, I have the list right in front of me. So here it is once again. Tulsa Athletic, FC Motown, ASC San Diego, Cleveland SC, Naples United FC, FC Arizona, Minneapolis City SC, Atlantic City FC, the Denton Diablos, FC Davis, Med City FC, Crossfire Redmond, West Chester United SC, and, of course, the Fort Worth Vaqueros. And we are going to see some solid matchups here in the opening round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Once again, end of March, ESPN Plus will be the network for the live streaming of every single match, of every single round. Let's see what happens going forward. And once again, you'll have Westchester United hosting Vereinigung Erzgebirge. And then you're going to have FC Motown hosting the New York Pan-Cyprian Freedoms, a two-time Open Cup champion. Atlantic City FC hosting Newtown Pride from Connecticut. And then, excuse me one second, pardon me. And then you're going to have Naples United on the road against Miami United under-23s. And then you have Cleveland SC on the road against Nashville United. FC Davis on the road against the Olympic Club. Minneapolis City will be on the road against Chicago United. The two MPSL sides, Tulsa Athletic, taking on the Fort Worth Vaqueros. So that'll be a single elimination one right there. And then you're going to have Med City FC on the road against Des Moines Menace. The Denton Diablos taking on the North Texas Rayados. ASC San Diego taking on Chula Vista FC. And then, of course, Crossfire Redmond taking on, or they'll be on the road at FC Boulder's Harpos. And then it will be Golden State Force, FC Golden State Force, hosting FC Arizona. These are the matchups that are going to be huge. These are the matchups that's going to be exciting to watch. And obviously, if it's a rival, you want to see them lose, and I understand that. But if you are rooting for the league on its own, if you're rooting for the league for the MPSL, then you know what? Then root for these clubs that represent the league that your club is a part of. If it's a rival, you don't want to do it. I understand. It's natural. It's all natural. I understand completely. But still, though, it's good and it's awesome to follow some of these clubs that are either within your conference division or your region or from one of the other three regions. You know what? Let's see what happens. Let's see how far some of these clubs will go. Now, also, just to remind some of you, there are going to be some of these teams that are giants, whether it be in the MPSL, the USL League 2, or in the amateur leagues, that are going to be tough nuts crack. You want to make sure that you go out there and you give everything and anything out there for the full 90 minutes. And if you have to play an extra 30, then go for it. But still, though, this is a situation where, once again, you win, you move on. You lost, sayonara, and just continue on with your league season. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. Cannot wait till the Open Cup comes towards the end of this month, Tuesday, March 25th, Wednesday, March 26th, the first round of Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. I'll be following every single match of every single round as well, and all matches will be broadcasted live through the streaming services of ESPN+. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, three great clubs here for you, coming to you from... And, you know, this is going to be a heck of a league. You know, this is the region, back still in the West. But we're going to have on clubs like Sacramento Gold FC, Academica SC, and Napa Valley, 1839 FC, as we get ready to have some fun, get ready to talk about these clubs, and just waiting now for the people over in Sacramento, California, as we get ready to talk about their club, the Sacramento Gold. And it's an honor and a privilege to have on these people on tonight. And that is from Sacramento Gold FC. The head coach is Ruben Mora and his center back in Christian. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Head coach Ruben Mora, welcome. And how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having us. It's a pleasure and honor for you guys to allow us to be on air with you.
Oh, thank you very much for joining me tonight. Sacramento Gold has been around for a while. How long has the club been in existence in the MPSL?
We started in 2010, our first year inaugural season, and we were very fortunate to be national champions the very first year we joined the league.
And since then, it's been a very, very tough conference, obviously. You know, I mean, there's a lot of solid clubs in this conference. It must be grueling 90 minutes every single time you play against these opponents, especially probably like Project 510 is probably brand new. You have El Farolito, who's joined the league maybe a year or two ago. Sonoma County Soul, I'm familiar with them, of course, back in the day when they were trying to battle in the Open Cup as well. What is it about this Golden Gate Conference that is really so difficult to be a part of and to try and gain a result in the positive part of the ledger?
Yeah, it's definitely competitive. Every game is so important, and you know the pressure is on all the teams to try to get some points. You know, the stage is set. I think every year for the first maybe 9 years, we've had Golden Gate Conference regional champion in the finals, and I believe this was the first time this past year that we didn't have a Golden Gate member affiliate in the finals. But it's definitely, the tone is set, and you know, it's very competitive. I believe that, you know, everyone has sort of, improved every year, and the standard continues to improve, and we are getting more and more experienced players like Chris joining the league and making improvements and developing players. And so, it's only going forward and improving. So definitely a difficult conference, and you know, we feel it nationally. Everyone's improving.
Oh, I believe so. And, of course, we have his center back on with us as well, Chris Christian. Chris, just to talk about, each and every night, you know, you're battling against these other clubs for top spot in the conference and, of course, a big run in the playoffs when you get the opportunities. Tell us, who is your biggest rival in this Golden Gate Conference going forward, or even before there was a Golden Gate Conference, who would be the big rival for Sacramento?
Well, thanks for having us, first and foremost. I would say that in my shorter time of being with the Gold, that one of our main competitions or competitors is Davis, just because of the proximity as well as the quality that they have. I think there's been relations between the clubs where, you know, in or outside the MPSL, there's been players that have played for both organizations or been a part of something in Davis and something in Sacramento. So there's a close relations and also a good competitive spirit between both organizations. So that's off the top of my head. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. And of course, let's not forget, you also have Sacramento Republic. They are currently in the USL. They will be moving up to Major League Soccer in the past. Have you had, or has there ever been any like preseason matches with Sacramento Republic, or have you not faced them yet? What is it about Sacramento Republic that, if you have faced them already, what impresses you so much about that possible meetup?
This is Coach. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh no, I was just gonna say we played last year and we had a good friendly match before. It was a good tune-up for them as well as us as we were starting the MPSL season. And I think Ruben and our owner, John, have done a good job of building the relations with Sacramento Republic. And I'll let, you know, Ruben piggyback on that just because he's been on the forefront of making that happen. And me as a player myself, I've been able to play for both teams. So I know that from the grassroots level, it's great to have the gold, especially for players who are looking to come up as, you know, younger competition and looking to become a professional player. And then for the Sacramento Gold, it's always the Republic, excuse me. It's always good to have that local team that has someone that is competitive that could help them, or that they can send some of their players to get reps and minutes, and just to have good competition around. So I think Ruben has done a good job of building that.
And go ahead, Ruben.
Yeah. So I was just going to add to what Christian was saying is that we have a very good relationship with the ownership of the Sacramento Republic, and we've been very fortunate to have had a few of our players in the past signed and represent Sacramento at the USL level, from the Golds to the Republic. And we've been fortunate to get players like Chris, who joined us last year with tons of experience at the USL level and you know, internationally. And, you know, he's part of our program right now. And so it definitely is a win-win, like Chris was saying, for everyone. And so we've traditionally done a preseason friendly with the Sacramento Republic for the past 3 years. Unfortunately, this year we weren't able to make it happen. With coaching changes and some, you know, different direction with the MLS announcement and whatnot, the Republic schedule was impacted and we weren't able to make it happen, but it's something we want to consider and, you know, take advantage of in the future.
No, absolutely. And why not? You know, they've been great partners with the Gold, and, you know, it's a big mm-hmm. moment to see, you know, the Gold take on. Not saying the Gold is not a big club. I feel like it is a big club, but still, though, another big club within mm-hmm. the Sacramento area to take them on. And, you know, let's be honest, strut your stuff. Let them know who's boss sometimes. I mean, just because you're in the USL doesn't mean you're kings of the town. You know, you got to go for it. And just to ask this question, obviously it hasn't happened yet, but what would be the best thing ever if the Gold would qualify for the Open Cup? And then, of course, if advancing out of the first round and taking on Sacramento Republic in the second round, if it ever came down to that, that would be probably the biggest talk in the capital of California, obviously, you know, seeing the Gold and the Republic facing each other, one and done, Open Cup magic. What would you feel about that one, Ruben?
Well, it's definitely something that could potentially happen in the near future. We have had a couple of successful runs in the Open Cup, getting past the first round. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't get matched up with Sacramento, but that would have been tremendous for not only the Sacramento Gold, but for the Sacramento soccer community to recognize that there's an amateur level team that can qualify and compete against the professional local team. So it, you know, definitely is one of those, you know, moments that you strive for, and we're hopeful that something that might happen in the near future. But, you know, I could definitely see that happening.
And just to go back to Chris for a second here, I'm assuming you've participated in past Open Cup tournaments, have you not?
Correct, I have.
And how crazy and amazing have the Open Cup tournaments been when you've been participating in it? You can tell the truth. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, Open Cup is let's say the Open Cup becomes a World Cup, especially for amateur teams, or if you're coming from USL League 2 or anything like that. It becomes very competitive. And, you know, as the professional team, if you don't really take care of your business, you can end up getting knocked out, and that's the beauty of this tournament, because anybody has a chance to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we've seen crazy moments, especially from last year. I think Sacramento Republic had we had to get to second half stoppage time just to get a goal to advance them into the next round, but that's neither here nor there. Ruben, just to ask you about the Gold, are there camps involving Sacramento Gold, Sacramento soccer players, boys, girls, youth clubs? Is there youth clubs with Sacramento Gold? And, like, how far do you go to look for players to join the club when you're able to, you know, find players and fill up a roster?
Yeah, we currently don't have a structured system with a program to the Sacramento Gold. We have participated in the past and have organized, you know, camps for kids, and we have also partnered with some of the youth clubs in the area and have gone out to work with their competitive teams and recreational teams. So, you know, we've done our due diligence to reach out to the community and offer, you know, some interaction with our players and coaching staff. We are currently working with one of the local clubs and trying to develop a relationship so that we could sort of be the top tier team for the club. And we would, you know, take on a few of their top 18, 17 year olds and give them some experience, not only in training, but in actual matches to help them develop and create sort of a funnel system, like similar to other countries where you have youth teams all the way from, you know, 6 year olds all the way to a senior men's team. And in most cases, in other countries, you have it all the way to the professional level, but it is definitely in the works, and it's what we believe is going to be instrumental for continued success and development for youth soccer players.
I want to gauge your level of the youth players, even the professional players, even the amateur players. We all know that there are some very good players in Southern California, in the San Diego area, the Los Angeles area, you know, even around the Bay Area. What is it about Sacramento that and the surrounding neighborhoods that has proven to be a hot commodity of professional soccer players, or not so much professional, but soccer players that have played well, that they deserve an opportunity to be members of the Gold?
Well, you know, Sacramento has traditionally developed and produced top-level players. We've had representation at all levels of the U.S. national team. We've had players that have had very long and successful careers in the MLS and overseas. So Sacramento, for whatever reason, has always been a you know, breeding ground for very strong players. Maybe the amount of quality players isn't as high as some of the more populated cities in Southern California. And, you know, maybe the competitive level doesn't extend as far out, but when you're looking at the top players, Sacramento has always produced very good players and continues to do so. We have, you know, the local youth academy programs here, and those players are doing very well, signing professional contracts. And so Sacramento Gold offers, you know, the next step for a lot of these players. There's a transition period from youth soccer to adult soccer. It's a more physical game, a faster game, and, you know, you have to problem solve a lot quicker. And so the speed of play from an 18-year-old to an adult level could vary. And so you're trying to close the gap. And by, you know, having these opportunities for these young players to train and play with some of these experienced players like Chris, it's helping close that gap and, you know, improving our developmental and youth systems. And, you know, Sacramento Gold offers that. It's not professional, so there's players that can maintain their eligibility for college if that's the route they want to take, or if they're looking to play professional, it helps them, you know, close the gap between themselves where they are now to what the professional level expectation is. So that's what I'd, you know, focus on.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. Good luck this year in the Golden Gate Conference. You know, look, I hope you guys are successful this season. Give it all your best. thank you for your time and good luck this year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And once again, that is the head coach of Sacramento Gold in Ruben Mora. And, of course, the center back in Chris Christian as Sacramento Gold getting ready to start their season very, very soon. Actually, the season has already gotten underway. And joining me right now representing more of that Golden Gate Conference is the general manager of the Academica SC Club. And very happy to have on with me tonight Mr. Michael Rocha, who joins me right now. Michael, good evening, and how are you?
Good evening. Thanks for having me, Daniel.
Thank you for coming on. It's a pleasure to have you on. Academica SC. Now, for someone like me that is not familiar with your club, if I can ask this question, is this an academy club? Or is this based from a school club, or is it a name of a town in somewhere where you are currently?
So our origins kind of date back to this club started out from actually the Catholic Church that is literally just down the street from the facility, and this soccer team started off as a way for kids to entertain themselves after Mass. Well, it went from pickup soccer after Mass to, hey, let's start a club team. So they started a club team, and they started traveling to go play other club teams within the Central Valley. And then it started to become serious over time. Fast forward, 20, 30 years, we buy another soccer field, and that's where our main facility is at. So it kind of evolved from just like a pickup soccer team that was made from the from kids that were attending the Catholic Church, and it really evolved to now, we went from playing in the CCSL in Sacramento to Liga NorCal, and now we're playing the MPSL for our third year, and we actually merged with the Turlock Tornadoes, which was a local youth club, and now they are Turlock Academica Juniors, so we sort of have an academy under us, for saying it now, that we merged with them. And then the name Academica was actually picked out by, the priest out of all people in the 70s. Or so I am told by some of the longtime representatives of the club. And then the name just kind of stuck from its inception.
Hey, listen, priests don't lie. So don't try and challenge them. Don't get the ruler,
Yeah, I had to kind of dig for that one. I was trying to figure out, because we have Portuguese roots. We have a very big Portuguese influence in the Central Valley. And I was trying to figure out why Academica, because there is an Academica of Coimbra in Portugal. And there's another Academica that I can't think of the name right now. But they are professional clubs in Portugal. I know Academica of Coimbra plays in the second division of Portuguese soccer, and I was thinking, maybe they were fans of Academica, or what was the reasoning behind naming us Academica? And the priest, I don't know what he was thinking, but he was thinking something along the lines of, maybe one day this can turn into an academy, and that's where it kind of drew. Why not Academica? So it all kind of just played into that way.
No, that's been great. I think that's wonderful. Look, I mean, all these different teams, there are certain ways that they were born, and whether it be through pickup soccer, whether it be through a man that owns his own business and he decides to start his own little pub team, becomes a club team, and, obviously Brigham Young University, BYU, at the time, of course, they were playing in the which is now USL League Two. They don't play during the college seasons because they want to break away from the NCAA. They want to be their own. They were able to participate in the Open Cup, obviously the only collegiate soccer team to be a part of the Open Cup. So, I mean, why not go through Academica and have have the priests involved, shall we say, to start up a club. Where in Central Valley are you? Are you in California? Are you in Oregon? Are you on the West Coast?
So we are right smack in the middle of California. So if you look at California map and you try to pretty much pinpoint the midpoint of California, we are right there. We're located in a town called Churlock. We got about 70,000 people. We are about an hour and 15 minutes away from Fresno and about an hour and 20 minutes away, an hour and 30 minutes away from Sac. Sacramento is north of us and Fresno is a little bit south of us.
And how is the talent pool over there by Academica? You get a good bunch of kids that are able to perform. And as you said, it's a Portuguese community. Do you get more players that are, Spanish or Italian or German besides the Portuguese community? You know, what's it like to have these players perform for this club each and every match for 90 minutes?
So we're in a little bit of a unique spot geographically. We are in the heartland of California, pretty much the heart of the agricultural business. We have a lot of agriculture in our area. So with that being said, we have a lot of immigrants that have immigrated here, whether it be from Portugal, whether it be from Mexico or other countries that decided to take up shop here and, start doing, traditional agricultural jobs. And so we used to get a big Portuguese influx because in the 1980s there was a big immigration. It was big. It was a lot of people from the Azores Islands and mainland Portugal that decided during the 80s to immigrate over here. So we got a big influx of immigrants that immigrated in the 80s. So the 80s and 90s were full of Portuguese talent. And then the early 2000s there was quite a few Portuguese players on our team, but now it's mainly Hispanic. We pretty much just tap into our local pool, and our local pool has a lot of Hispanic players. We're lucky enough to where
hopefully we didn't lose
them. We have our own facility. We're lucky enough to have our own facility, which helps a lot. And we've been able to establish ourselves in Central Valley, and we've gotten players from as far north as Sacramento, as far south as Fresno, to making the commute 3 times a week to practice with us. So the talent pool has been good. We've had a pretty big outreach, not just within our area, but a little bit north and south as well.
Now, looking at the standings so far, I know it's early. It's only been one game played for Academica, but you do have 3 points currently, and you're ahead by 3 goals on the differential right now, with Napa Valley at the moment tied with you for first place. But still, though, how big of a conference and how competitive of a conference is Golden Gate right now in this division?
So Golden Gate, we've over the last 2 years that we've been in it, it's kind of been known to never pay attention to the standings because it doesn't matter if somebody's in first place and you're playing the last place team. That last place team could easily come into your own home facility and can get a 2-3-0 win. It's very, very competitive. We beat each other up all from, the start of the season from March to June. It's a very, very competitive conference, and I personally believe that we are the most competitive conference from top to bottom in the NPSL. You're not going to find a bad team. You're not going to find a team where you can kind of look at them and say, hey, this is a possible 3 points here. We can kind of, worry about the next one. No, you have to really focus on the task at hand with this conference. We have some great ownership in this league that pride on putting a good product on the field, and we see that every week.
Besides the NPSL playoffs, which is obviously what you're trying to get to each and every season, how much stake do you believe in the U.S. Open Cup? Obviously, there's FC Arizona that's going to be involved in this. ASC San Diego as well. Is that also a dream for Academica to be involved in the Open Cup? Have you watched Open Cup matches, with the new streaming service from ESPN Plus? What is it about the Open Cup that you hope to see Academica qualify for one day and get a big run going?
So we were fortunate enough to qualify for the Open Cup last year. We played El Farolito. Unfortunately, we lost in the first round 2-1, and it was a great experience. It was great to have ESPN in our own backyard and streaming that match and all the other Open Cup matches. And it was a great introduction to Academica for a lot of people, especially people on the East Coast and people that are not aware of who we are. A lot of people had a lot of things to say about our facility, mostly good, but it's a very unique venue. Just to kind of give you a perspective, you have a church behind you, you have a field on two sides of you, and then you have a cow pasture on one end. So it's the Central Valley. It is legitimately the spinning image of the Central Valley. So you can't ask for a better venue for the Central Valley's team. And it was great to have ESPN there. I think what ESPN is doing for the Open Cup is phenomenal. I'm happy that they hopped on board last year. I wish they would have done it sooner. But I think just from the experience that we had, it's something that we definitely want to get back into. And we're hoping to do that with qualifying for the U.S. Open Cup next year by winning our league this year.
Dare I ask, have you lost soccer balls in the cow pasture?
Every week we lose soccer balls in the cow pasture. It's become a kind of a ritual to where if the cows are out and if they don't look like they're in the best of moods, we kind of just leave those soccer balls there. And we just wait for them to be corralled in the next day and we'll get the soccer balls the next practice round. Luckily, we have a pretty good amount of soccer balls at our facility, so we can do without the soccer ball or two that goes into the field every practice.
So what you're saying is that you have to get the decontamination chamber ready after each and every practice and match.
Well, we got to have somebody out there ready to go with the cattle prod if need be. If somebody starts getting chased down, but yeah, it's definitely a unique venue. I love it. We're fortunate enough to have a great board that takes care of the facility. We don't have to pay for groundskeepers. We have people that play for the club, representing the club, that now they go and they give back to the club by taking care of the facility. So I think when come springtime, summertime, I think we have one of the nicest pitches by far in the Central Valley. And I think we take care of our facility. We take pride in providing a great pitch for players to play on. And, it's definitely a unique venue, to say the least, though.
I bet it is. I'm just wondering, how big is the bill you sent to the NPSL for a bunch of soccer balls?
Too much. But yeah.
Okay, listen, I need you to Snapchat me or at least text me a photo of the actual bill for the soccer balls each and every year. I need to see this. I got to make sure that the cows that they have their own fun. I hope you don't hit. I hope one of them doesn't get hit or gets knocked down or anything like that, just in case the corner kick goes awry,
Yeah, no, we have a method. I mean, it's been going on for about 20, 30 years that we have that facility right next to the cows. So we kind of have our own methods of going and retrieving the soccer ball. So we've been fortunate enough to get every single soccer ball back.
I hope so, because, the leather's kind of expensive these days, and I don't want you to get we lost one. We need help. The cow ate it. It's been over-pooped. No, I'm just joking. We'll have some fun there. But that's just great to hear. So I just want to say to you, Michael, thank you for your time. Had fun talking with you about your club, Academica. Good luck this season, and hopefully the club can qualify once again for the Open Cup.
Hey, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. Have a good night. Take care. Thank you. You too. That's Mr. Michael Rocha, the general manager of Academica SC, as we're going to keep on going in here with the show. And you know what? It's great to talk to these people. It's wonderful to talk to all these people that are a part of these clubs in the lower levels of American soccer. That's why I signed on to do this NPSL show. It's a lot of fun, and I enjoy doing it. Joining me right now, the general manager of this club and the midfielder, as Miss Rebecca Koch and midfielder Ronaldo Lonel. I hope I pronounced it correctly. They represent Napa Valley 1839. As you know, that's very interesting, Rebecca. I never thought that the Napa Valley, which is known for its winemaking, that there
That's
would
right.
be a club. You know, look, you're known for your winemaking. Never thought there'd be a professional or at least a club in a, you know, in a soccer league. I'm assuming there's tons of vineyards that surround the field.
Well, you know, I was just listening to Michael about their soccer balls are going in the cow pastures. Ours are going in the vineyards and some very expensive Cabernet grapes. We find our balls. Yes. It's pretty spectacular at the field.
Yeah. I bet it is. Yeah, I bet it's Ronaldo's fault, too. No, I'm just kidding. But
Never that.
Okay, that's why you're a midfielder, right? You're not a forward. You want to make sure you don't get too close to the vineyards when you get to the net.
Yeah, I can't get too close. Yeah, you can't get too close.
That's wonderful. So I would have to say, Rebecca, that Napa Valley 1839, the year of the club, means the year of the existence of Napa Valley. Is that correct?
Well, it is the existence of a gentleman named George C. Yount, who first planted the grapes, yes, which is now Yountville, California, also home to the esteemed and globally known restaurant French Laundry. So, you know, not that we are getting to go there anytime soon on our player diet, but, so that's 1839.
That's absolutely wonderful, and I just have to say that because I know with the Portland Timbers, whoever scores a goal, Timber Jim slices off a piece of a log. So whoever scores a goal, do they get a bottle of wine?
I've seen it. They get a bottle of wine, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. We are known for that. We private label our own wine. We give our team our opponents, they each get a bottle of wine when they come to us. So, yes, we also specialize just in hospitality here in Napa Valley. So it's, you know, it's food, it's wine, and it's soccer.
That's right. I mean, why not? Let's go for it. That would be fantastic to have soccer and wine. It goes well. It doesn't matter what it is. I'll have the Cabernet. But anyway. Just want to go to Ronaldo for a second. How long have you been with the club, and what's it like to be playing in an area where, obviously, like we've already said, it's mostly known for winemaking, but, you know, how ravenous are the fans when they come to watch a Napa Valley match in front of you?
This is my first year with the club, but from what I've heard and from what I've seen so far, it's been really cool. Like, a lot of the fans come out to the games. The city's not that big, and a lot of people know our owners, so everywhere you go and you're wearing some Napa Valley gear, everybody knows who you are. They want to talk about the club. They want to, like, know what's going on with it, like, what's growing, what's happening, like, who the players are. So there's a lot of interest in soccer here, and you could tell, like, growing fast.
Yeah, and we've got our Green Army. You know, that's who are making a little ruckus each time. But it's actually a KP. It's the Kitchen Police. Banging on some pots and pans and some corkscrews. So it all works together, even in the stadium, our culinary wine theme.
Wait a second. They're using corkscrews to make noise? Really?
Well, we are creative and inventive here.
I love this. This is great. This is awesome. I love these little quirks. These are great. This is what I always love about, you know, it doesn't matter what level it is in the United States when it comes to major, you know, comes to American soccer, MLS, USL Championship, League One, League Two, MPSL. Something funny and nutty happens, and it's always for a good cause and a good reason. This is wonderful. I mean, I only hope that the corkscrews don't get damaged after the game so that they can open up the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Oh, we've got backup artillery. Don't worry. There's no one's ever without a corkscrew.
This is absolutely wonderful. In the region, and I've been asking some of your opponents, obviously, in this Golden Gate Conference, how – I mean, obviously, you know, like we've already talked about the winemaking and why the Napa Valley is such a rich place for this, for this profession. But has there been, you know, talented players growing up either within the Napa Valley area or the surrounding area that you have seen personally that have developed to become big stars, whether it be for Napa Valley or for, you know, if they've been purchased by other clubs within USL Championship or MLS? That might have joined the U.S. men's national team? Rebecca?
Well, okay. So, in fact, just today, and Ronaldo, so we, you know, what I love about our group here is the group chat. And just today, we were posted about Jonathan Pardita, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's LA Force. And, you know, we're young, so this is our fourth year. So we're just starting to see the fruits of our labors and players moving up and moving on. And I feel like just like this year with our caliber of players, this is like we're really, really optimistic of like, okay, this is our springboard to moving players up and out in the universe outside of Napa Valley. But we also are really focused on making our team and building out the team here and so that they are here for a few years before they go on. I don't know, Ronaldo, you can speak to this too, like who you've seen or who you've known about that have moved, you know, beyond our land.
No, like Jonathan Partita is a great example. Like he didn't get signed right out of his first year of college. He came to Napa Valley with all the opportunity coming around with Members Cup, the league being strong to keep him prepared for any opportunity that came up. He got an opportunity with LA Force. He was there for a couple of weeks, and he showed his talent, and he got signed. And, like, that just shows the caliber of players that we produce, like, the quality of our play. And it's just helping out. It's a good step. And even, like, we're going to be a good competitive team this year. So it's
oh, absolutely. That's wonderful to hear. And that's the hope, you know. The hope is that you do have a competitive team. The hope is that you go and you take on your opponents in your conference, and then you go into a big playoff run. And somewhere down the line, you know, like I've talked with many clubs so far, whether it be in NPSL or outside of this league, you want to reach that Open Cup. I mean, the Open Cup right now, I would say it's the pinnacle. That opening round, even before the opening round, the draw that U.S. Soccer does.
Yeah.
Before we have a lot of fun with this, and you know, Ronaldo, you first, and then Rebecca. What would it mean to see Napa Valley qualify for the Open Cup and having an opportunity to take on these clubs, whether it be within the amateur level or when you face a professional side?
The U.S. Open Cup is huge. Like I've been able to witness it a lot growing up. Like my brother played for Cal FC, and they're pretty famous for being a good Open Cup team, a good Open Cup amateur team. And even last year, they made it to, like, the fourth or fifth round where they played Las Vegas Lights. So for me to, like, want to do that, like, I think Napa's the perfect place. Like, we're playing well. It would mean a lot to the city and stuff like that. Like, everybody wants to see good soccer here. And, like, the U.S. Open Cup is, like, the pinnacle of amateur soccer. And being able to compete against the higher-level teams, like, that'll be able to show, like, what we got, where we're at, and, like, what to improve on and what not to improve on and just stuff like that.
Rebecca,
yeah,
what would it mean to have Napa Valley involved?
It would be, and I can say this from the owners of 1839, that it would be just, you know, sort of a dream come true. As you know, it's blood, sweat, and tears just getting this off the ground and growing the team awareness. And to, like, get to that level would be I mean, it would be like, you know, winning the soccer lottery to get into, you know, continuing to, you know, excel. So truly, like, we're very, like, focused and disciplined this year to, you know, continue to improve what we're doing on the operational front, you know, off the field and on the field.
Rebecca, who's your head coach running Napa Valley right now on the pitch, and how has he been? Is it a new coach? He's been for a couple of seasons. What is it about for your Napa Valley? Who's your head coach right now?
Okay, so the theme for Napa Valley 2020 is the word of the day is new. We have a new head coach, and I am new as well, and we have a lot of new players. But our coach is Mark Corbett, who is came to us. He's actually been at Napa Valley, let's see, a couple seasons, just during the summer times, working with our programs, and he was brought in this past 2 months now, but he's only been really with the team for a month now. Incredible. He is exactly what we needed, though, to be leading the way. He is from he's from England. Our players are still trying to understand him. He has a heavy accent.
he's not a Geordie, is he?
Can you understand him?
I can understand him fine.
I can understand them, but
some of the kids. So he has a degree, you know, in football coaching. He's from Portsmouth FC. He's coached Chelsea FC. He's coached MLS camps. Like, he is schooled and, you know, love it. He's gotten a huge amount of respect from all of our players. So he has been in, you know, senior summer professional soccer for over 15 years. He's here with us. He's also head of the girls' development for our U15 group, and so he is, you know, he's busy on the pitch, you know, all day and all night. He's been a great addition for us.
And Ronaldo, yeah, absolutely, Ronaldo. Like you said, you understand what he wants, and how has he been so far? You know, through the months, and of course, first match of the season. What's he been like for you guys so far? Your head coach.
Oh, he's been great. He showed up. He told us what his, like, 7-day plan is, what he's always, like, what his philosophy has always been. And from day one, we've all been bought in, and we had our first game last week, and we got the results. So we're just going to keep growing and trusting him. Like, he comes every day prepared, and we're always ready to learn and get better. So I think Mark's been really good, and you can tell that he knows what he's doing, so we all trust him.
Yeah,
and just
we
back,
got our first
Rebecca,
win on Saturday, so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I have the standings right here in front of me right now. You're level with Academica. A 1-0
yeah.
victory right now. I know you're 2 goals behind Academica right now, but on points, you're level with 3 points. And, you know, that's a great start. Why not? And
mm-hmm.
you've got
right.
bigger opponents, obviously. Sacramento Gold, FC Davis, Project 510, El Farolito, Sonoma County Soul. You know, how difficult has this – I know you just jumped in, but I would have to assume they've told you, Rebecca, that this is a very competitive division in the Golden Gate Conference.
No, I mean, I actually was working with them last summer for Members Cup, so I watched it firsthand when we had, you know, Tennessee and Michigan and Milwaukee and the New York Cosmos with us. I mean, I saw that level of play and know what we're up against if we're trying to raise the bar ourselves. So we really worked hard on developing the players that we have, bringing in some new players, and really working towards making sure that Mark was the right fit and the right leader, because it is about leadership and the right coach and some discipline. And we have the ingredients are there. So I feel very confident this year.
And then the bouquet of the wine will blossom into something special. I know.
exactly.
All right,
it's like a fine. Exactly. It takes some time. You know, it's kind of a good analogy, though, because it is a whole process, you know, in winemaking. And then, you know, and you hold on, you know, it has to age. And then, wow, you open it and wow. So there is a little bit of analogy on that front. Just, you know, making anything good takes time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely. Well, Well, you know, guys, look, all I can say is that good luck to you this year. You're off to a great start so far, and hopefully you'll get into a big playoff run, and maybe you'll qualify for the Open Cup for 2021. We'll see what happens. Guys,
absolutely. So,
that's the
hope. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
that
guys, for joining me tonight. Good luck. No problem at all. Good luck, and talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Okay,
we appreciate
great.
It.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye now. That's the general manager of Napa Valley 1839 and Miss Rebecca Koch and midfielder Ronaldo Lonel as another edition, another episode of the NPSL Soccer Show is in the books. Great talk, great chat with these clubs in the Western region. Once again, the Golden Gate Conference. It's another conference to watch out for. You got to look and see what's going to happen. And right now, they're off and running into the gate, and it's going to be fantastic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this will do it for tonight's show. Thank you for joining me tonight. In 2 weeks, episode number 3 of the NPSL Soccer Show here on the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show, official media partner of the National Premier Soccer League. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. And once again, I'd like to thank my guests. I want to thank from Sacramento Gold, Mr. Ruben Mora and his center back in Chris Christian. I want to thank the general manager of Academica SC in Michael Rocha. And then, of course, the general manager of Napa Valley 1839 in Miss Rebecca Koch and her midfielder in Mr. Ronaldo Lonel. My name's Daniel Feuerstein. Join me next Monday, Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show, as we're going to celebrate 25 years of Major League Soccer. We're going to try and bring on those players of the 25 years since 1996 as we celebrate 25 years of MLS, and we're going to have some fun. And then, of course, let's also not forget, we're going to have on, of course, CONCACAF Champions League first leg quarterfinal review show of those clubs in MLS as well as Liga MX remaining in the CONCACAF Champions League tournament. Once again, my name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night. Take care. And this has been the NPSL Soccer Show on the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. You have a good night, everybody. Take care, so long, and bye-bye for now.